This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua, if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
It's unbelievable!
This is Roger, and welcome to a Men in Blazers special. A conversation with League Two striking sensation Adebayo Akinfenwa. Known as the Beast, Akinfenwa is a large man in a game that's getting ever smaller. In a world of Sesks and Messis and David Silvers, he's a Prince Fielder, a William the Refrigerator Perry, a Robert Tractor Trailer, but in football cleats. A week ago, Akinfenwa, age 32, lived on the fringes of American soccer fans' consciousness, mostly known as the strongest man on EA Sports FIFA. But after Wimbledon's FA Cup third round game last week, against Liverpool, in which he schooled a terrified Reds defence, he's become a hero to American football fans, the majority of whom adore the notion of a striker who could be mistaken for an NFL player. I caught up with Akinfenwa at his home to hear his story. The phone line is English, and by that I mean not the greatest, but it's very much worth a listen, because his is a story beyond the physical giggles and the vaudevillian shtick. A story, I think, that's inspirational, one of overcoming challenge after challenge, that of a human being who's been blessed with talent and the mental ability to fulfill his potential that he knew was there, despite others rejecting him over and over and over again. I love his human story. I also love the way he delivers it with a touch of self-deprecation. Asked in the matchday programme what his hobbies are outside of football, Akinfenwa responded, "Going to the gym and Nando's." Nando's is what Boston Market would be if it had Portuguese owners. So I jumped at the chance to talk to him, if only to encourage the striker to think about a dream move to MLS. And I can assure you, any team that signs him will be promised a marketing bonanza, as well as a man who's proven he can score against Premier League defences. At 5'11", £225, our guest today is the world's strongest professional footballer currently on the field. His bulging biceps and ability to toss defenders aside like playthings, I mean you, Martin Skrtel, have earned him an eye-popping strength rating of 97 on EA Sports FIFA 15. It is with great pleasure we welcome to the pod, live from South London, America's favourite League Two footballer, a man they call the Beast. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome Adebayo Akinfenwa.
Oh my days, what a build-up. I need to thank you for that build-up.
It's designed to embarrass you, but it's no embarrassing you. You weigh £225. You can bench press 180 kilograms. That's £397. That's two big men. That's a fully grown lion. You're 50% heavier than a Theo Walcott, and you're the strongest player on FIFA with that 97 rating. How does that honour feel?
It is a great achievement. I'm not even going to lie. I'm going to be able to tell my kids and make sure they tell their kids' and kids' kids that their daddy was the strongest player in the world. So, nah, it's a good look. To be fair, it's nice. I'm not going to lie, it's nice.
Yeah, I think they only gave you a 60. You got a 97 strength, but they only gave you a 62 overall. Do you think they misunderstood your other assets?
I believe I did. I believe they did. But then every time I keep complaining, they say you're the strongest in the game. So I'm like, look, fair enough, you know, to be the best at one thing, I take, you know, they tell me not to be too greedy. I mean, they did up my pace by, I think, 3% from FIFA 14, so I guess I can't complain.
I think you're a 54. I think you're a fair... Do you play yourself?
I didn't on FIFA 14 because I was a bit too slow, I'm not going to lie. I used to shout at myself, but FIFA 15, I'm a little bit quicker, so I do play with myself, so I do enjoy throwing a few people to the floor in the game.
I loved your quote. You said, "I'm delighted to be recognised again as the strongest football player in the world. I may not be as pacey or skillful or as Messi or David Silva, but would you want them guarding your store?"
Yep, I did say that. I did say that. Look, I believe that it's okay to stay in your footballing lane. and my footballing, I'm on the phone, Princess, and my footballing lane is my strength. I do have other attributes because, you know, I do score goals, and you've got to be more than just a brute to have like a 12, 13 year career. I do have other attributes, but I do know my main attribute is my strength, so I'm okay with that.
Your nickname, it's the Beast.
Yep.
You talk with wisdom about beast mode.
Yep.
If you were to describe the essence of beast mode and its philosophy to our American audience, what would it be?
Yeah, 100%. Beast mode on. Well, it's beast mode on, actually, so it's not just beast mode. So it's BMO. So our philosophy is defy the limitations people put on you. That an amateur, that a professional is just an amateur that didn't quit. And people's doubts have no bearings on your future. So for years, I was got told I was too big to play football. But over 160 goals later, 12 years in the game, it shows that, you know what, if you do believe it, you can achieve it. And that's the philosophy behind the whole beast mode on mantra is, you know, people like to put you in a box and say what you cannot and cannot do. But, you know, if you believe it, you know, they say, you know, players are too short to play basketball, you know, too big to play football, you know, too hood to make it as president or prime minister. So, look, defy the limitations people put on you, and if you believe it, you can achieve it.
I mean, your story, when you look into it, it's just one of struggle and consistently overcoming all kinds of challenges. From 2001 to 2003, you had your first professional club experience in Lithuania, FK Atlantis.
Yeah.
You took the field. Describe what happened.
First game, so my first pre-season game, I went on the pitch, jogged out, and then it started. I heard zigga, zigga, zigga. Can I swear on this?
You can do whatever you want.
Okay, yeah. All right, so it was zigga, 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 shoot the in the. That was the chant that was coming from the fans. I ain't going to lie, I was bewildered. I was an 18-year-old, you know, still a big guy from London. You know, nobody had disrespected me. And to come on the field and hear that, it was mind-boggling. And then what made it even worse was about 500 of them were my own fans. So I was like, what have I got myself into? But, you know, with my mindset and, you know, belief, faith and family, you know, I was able to go there and score goals. And, you know, thankfully, we got to equivalent to the FA Cup final. I scored the winner. And then it changed. You know, it was a lot of just ignorance. You know, I opened up my first Adidas store in the city, met the mayor of the city, and then I was the miniature David Beckham in the city of Clipperdor, and it was just
a better-looking David Beckham.
I was a miniature David Beckham, you know, in the city of Clipperdor. You know, I didn't have to pay for stuff. So it went from, you know, the worst period of just saying, I can't believe it, I didn't want to walk the street by myself, to being, you know, the fans then ended up loving me, and it was a crazy period. But and again, I was 18, so this is 12 years ago. There was no iPhones, no iPad, laptops were crazy expensive. I had to go to and use MSN at the internet cafe. There were no DVDs, so I was away. You know, being away was actually away. Whereas now, you can FaceTime, and it's not as bad. So all that contributed to an experience. I don't think I'll do it again, but I do believe everybody's got an autobiography to tell.
I mean,
part of my story.
The amazing thing is that you stuck it out. I interviewed Paulinho recently, who had a similar experience, and he just phoned his agent up and said immediately, understandably, I want to get out of here. But
yeah,
you stuck it out. What did you learn from that savage experience? And would you be who you are without it?
No, I wouldn't. And that's the be on end of it. And I believe that, you know, I don't want to go on like, you know, my life's been nothing but struggle. I've had, you know, factors in my life, which is, you know, and I feel you have to go through ups and downs. And that was an up and down experience. But I wouldn't be who I was. And I think from a young mindset, it was, and I had a conversation with my brother at the time, it was, you can either come home and let them win or show them what you're about. And I just remember thinking, I'm not going to let nobody run me out of anywhere. And that was what it was at the time. It was, if I leave, all of them people there have won. And that, as I think, my mindset at the time was, okay, I'm here. So it's either you persevere and come at the other side, or you know what I'm saying, you put your tails between your legs and you come home. And I've always been a fighter, and by the grace of God, I'll continue to be a fighter. So, and that's where it was. And I wouldn't be the person who I am today, because I remember thinking, if you can get through that, there ain't nothing in life you can't get through. And it appeared the case. Came back again, ups and downs, broke my leg, you know, just different things. And it just, it shapes you in the person, you know, who I am today. I wouldn't do it again, if I'm honest, you know, now, but I'm kind of glad I went through it.
You became somewhat of a journeyman. You played for 11 different teams from 2001 to 2011. How do you understand your own sudden popularity?
It's hard because, you know, I'm doing an interview with an American company, which, I do go to America, but I've never got to the promised land of the Premiership, you know, so it is mind-boggling to the level of, you know, popularity. I was in LA and people stopped me to take pictures, and I'm like, it is mind-boggling, but then I do feel that I'm unique, you know, I do not look like a footballer, I know that. I mean, I'm from big stock, so me and my brothers, if you see us together, we look like three wrestlers. So, you know, I'm from big stock, and I know that. And I know I'm not the typical footballer. And I think, you know, some people like the fact that, you know, you don't have to conform, and it's okay to be different. And then I also like to think that, you know, I can play, and I'm a genuine guy. And I think people, and I hope to think that people, you know, respond and take to that, but I ain't gonna lie, you know, I'm up to 135,000 Twitter followers, 165,000 Instagram followers, so, you know, it is mind-boggling, but, you know, I'm embracing it at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about what the fans chanted when you took the field in Lithuania. Well, what do they chant now when you take the field at Wimbledon?
Well, it depends, you know what I'm saying. I mean, I've got the beast shout, you know, and boom, 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 and let me hear you say bail. And then I've got a couple of Wave fans that, you know, you're just a fat Eddie Murphy, which I think is very funny. you know, it's just, it's different, you know, different things, which I love the game of football because it's that, you know, if I don't get abused sometimes, it means I'm doing something wrong. So, it varies.
As long as they mean Trading Places Eddie Murphy and not Nutty Professor Eddie Murphy.
I don't know which one it is, but anyway, it's a compliment. It does make me laugh.
Let's talk about the FA Cup. I mean, we're all fascinated in America watching the smaller teams taking on the powers and having a go. Wimbledon had an amazing go against Liverpool. What do you say to yourselves? Can you take us into the locker room? What do you say ahead of the game? What role does tactical planning play? And what part of it is just adrenaline and big dreams kicking in?
You know what? I think there's all different factors. I think, you know, we know what Liverpool's, you know, what their strengths are. And then to be fair, we was also highlighted on what their weaknesses are. So, and which kind of coincides that their weakness is kind of our strengths, and that's getting the ball into the box and attacking crosses and set pieces, and that's kind of this season been Liverpool's weakness. So we kind of knew, you know, what Liverpool's strengths are and weaknesses, but then also adrenaline comes in, and then the fact that, you know, we still aspire, well, maybe not me, but we've got younger players coming in that want to get to the promised land, and you want to test yourself against the best. So for me, I was relishing the game, and, you know, I was drooling at the game of coming up against the Skirtles and the Sackles, because, you know, that whole thing of, you know, they're the tough end of football and you want to go up against them. So for me, myself, my mindset, I listened to my Beast Mode track, and that, you know, I had my headphones on, my Beast Mode track was playing, and it just, and I was psyched, you know, I was ready. And that's what it is. I mean, that's the beauty of the FA Cup, because it dares you to dream, you know. And We knew we would be able to give Liverpool a game. You know, at Anfield, it may have been a different story because the pitches and it was bigger. But on our home pitch, we knew it was tight, it was confined, and we, like I said, we know their strengths and weaknesses. So, you know, it's a combination of a lot of things: adrenaline, tactics, and, you know, just belief.
Did you feel Sacco and Skirtle's fear early on? What was going through your head when it felt early on that they just didn't know how to play you?
And I was relishing, you know, playing against them. And to be fair, I felt the first 20 minutes, they had the better. You know, I weren't winning as much as I thought I'd be winning. And then there was a situation where I got booked, and then I tried to laugh with Skirtle, and he didn't laugh with me, and I realised, okay, you're being serious, you don't want to laugh. And I think from then, it kind of picked up, and the momentum went our way. So it was just more anything, just relishing it.
You told your teammates, widely reported this, that if they took Steven Gerrard's jersey post-game, you'd punch them, you wanted it that bad.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, I love my teammates, they know this. I'll go to war with them, but on that given day, I warned them, and I warned them extremely thoroughly that if anybody comes close to try to take Stevie G's shirt, it's going to be a problem. We're going to have a problem. And to be fair, I thought I would have had to put Stevie G in a headlock because he threw his top off and gave it in the crowd. So I had to hold him, but then he nicely said he already had a signed one ready for me. So thank you, Stevie G. He's an absolute legend.
A listener had a question for you. At KJ Burt wants to know, how far down your chest does Steven Gerrard's jersey go? To the breastbone, to the navel?
I wouldn't even think to pull it on. I'm sure it don't fit. Like, I'm sure my arms will bust through it, but it's getting framed. It's at the moment, it's at the framing shop. That's the only time I've allowed it out of my eyesight. It's at being framed with my shirt. So I won't even try to think about trying to pull it on because I don't want to bust out the seams.
I've got to ask you, battling and beating Liverpool's defence after the game, did it make you think a little bit about how you would do if you were given the chance to battle the kind of Vincent Kompanys, the John Terrys, the Per Mertesackers on a regular basis?
I mean, I'm a League Two player, you know, but I do feel, given the chance, I would love to go up against them week in, week out, you know. Like I said, I've got strengths and I've got weaknesses, but play to my strength and, you know, I'd not even far trying to be arrogant, but I would give most defenders problems playing to my strengths. So, you know, week in, week out, I would love it. You know, Kompany, Vidic, I would have loved to play against Desailly, all the, you know, the hard boys in the game. Do you know what I'm saying? I would love to go toe-to-toe with. But maybe it weren't meant to be, and I've got a couple of sons now, so hopefully they'll get where Daddy never got to.
MLS, the American League, at a buyout. It's got a lot of press in England. Steven Gerrard's coming over here. Frank Lampard's punking us that he's coming over here. would you ever like to come over to MLS and experience the American football world?
I'm a very massive... I take to the American culture a lot. I'm in America, you know, at least once or twice every year. So as soon as the season finishes, I always come back to the States. So I would never say never. And I know the MLS is, you know, it's progressing up and up and up, and the standards are getting up and up and up. So I would never say never. I mean, it depends who's out there that would want me to come play for them. Who would I kind of fit in with? So I guess they would have to come calling me.
I can promise you one thing, which is it will be better than Lithuania.
I truly think it would.
We've got a lot of MLS owners who listen to this show. Can you address them and let them know what you'd bring to their side? I want to make this happen.
What I'll bring to their side? Okay, well, my stats speak for themselves. My average 15 goals a season since 2008. You know, I'll have to, you know, teams about teams, I'll have to have a striker who likes to run in behind, so we'll complement each other. I'll do the hold-up play and bring others into play. I guarantee you 15 goals. It is what I do. Who doesn't want to have a beast in the team? You know, so any CEOs, you know, my cell phone, call my boy who I'm talking to now, and we'll make this happen.
I think Bradley Wright Phillips is salivating as he listens to this. Do you ever wish you'd been born here? You'd be an NFL star by now, surely.
Yeah, I probably would have. I think it would have been NFL that would have kind of sat me up if I was born in the States. But boy, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. One thing I love about you, you've got an incredible sensitive side. I read that your favourite man in Friends is... Who's your favourite one of Friends?
Ross.
Ross.
Ross. Ah, Ross is a bad man. Ah, I'm telling you, Ross, he kills me. He makes me laugh. He's my favourite. Yeah, no, there's... I've got that beast side of me where, you know, there's two times where you'll see that if you're a defender or if you're trying to date my daughters. They're the two times where, you know, the beast will come out. But other than that, you know, I'm a massive Disney fan. I watched Frozen the other day and I was kind of impressed with that. Aladdin's one of my favourite, you know, films out there.
You like Mulan, right?
Yeah, oh, Mulan. Oh, yeah, I mean, if... I would sing a couple of their songs, you know what I'm saying, because that's how much I'm into it, you know. I'm a Mulan fan, yeah. 100%.
Yeah, watching the snowman melt at the end of Disney cartoons makes you tear up.
Hey, it's problematic, I'm not going to lie to you. You know, when, you know, the sun come out, he melted, it brought a tear to my eye. I'm just putting that out there.
So my last question for you is...
God.
We have a lot of young listeners to this show.
Yep.
What is the essence of masculinity?
To know yourself, try not to conform, to know yourself and be okay with yourself as a man. So, yeah, I'm telling the world that, yeah, I teared up on a snowman, but then if you ever want to go toe-to-toe with me, I'd definitely stand firm. So be comfortable in your own skin.
Adebayo, I have learned so much about life from speaking to you. I love
you. Thank you, my brother.
I think America has really warmed to you. I hope one day when you're next here, that you'll stop by and see us in New York. Great to be with you. Adebayo Akinfenwa.
All right, my pleasure. Thanks very much.